Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Greg Bustin is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Greg is a leadership consultant, the CEO of Bustin & Company. He's the author of a number of books, including a brand new one called Accountability, the Key to Driving High-Performance Culture, and he's here to talk to us about why the things you're trying to accomplish might not be working out as well as you thought. Greg Bustin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Greg, every CEO, big companies, small companies, they have things on their mind. They see a direction that the company needs to go in, either to take advantage of an opportunity offensively or a defensive move to try to stave off some kind of calamity, and most of the time, unfortunately, what they hoped would happen doesn't turn out, does it?
You're exactly right, Jim.
And more of these efforts are, if not failed, they don't meet expectations than do. What is that right?
That's right.
And you found out why?
Well, what I found out is that accountability is not punishment. Accountability is not micromanagement. Accountability is not even having a tough conversation with somebody when things don't go right. What I found out, because I work with small business owners, partners, CEOs, and right. I also interviewed them, and what I found out is that, guess what? Accountability starts with us.
Mm-hmm.
So when things aren't getting done, we need to ask ourselves, what role did we play in that? You talk about expectations, and on the break, we talked about clarity. The biggest breakdown in accountability is that there is a lack of clarity. And so I believe that clarity creates confidence. The clearer you can be about what you want, where you're going, the clearer you can be about providing direction and setting expectations, the more likely that it's going to happen.
Is that where accountability breaks down first, when the person introducing the idea, the change, the new program, whatever it may be, when the person introducing it doesn't do a good job?
Well, I think it breaks down if you don't have the right people on your team, right?
Yeah.
And so you referenced the things that I found out. I came up with what I call the seven pillars of accountability, and the first pillar is character. So if we don't have the right people on our team, it doesn't matter what we say or what we try to, quote-unquote, motivate people to do. These people aren't aligned with our values. They aren't aligned with where we're trying to go, and therefore they're not fully engaged and motivated to make it happen.
I've actually seen companies, small businesses, where the owner of the company wanted to do something, and literally one or two of the employees just wouldn't let it happen.
Right.
And the company didn't, and the owner didn't do anything about it.
Right.
And that's called being held hostage, Greg.
Well, it is, because those people are saboteurs. I mean, there's a group of people that are all in, they're very excited, and they're with the owner. They want to get to the promised land, right? They're excited
yeah.
about the vision. You've got a group that will sit back and say, okay, I'm going to watch and see the owner's conviction. Is the owner really determined to get there, or is this just another flavor of the day? And then you've got a third group that says, I'm not sure about that, but frankly, I like it where we are. And so those are the complacent
right.
folks. And that's the big bell curve. It's the people on one end that are all fired up, and then on the other end of the bell curve, they're the saboteurs that you're talking about.
Jim. Right. So let me ask you, so if you're thinking about launching something, some kind of a new change, you're saying that you should look at your team and see if maybe you need to make some changes before you do the change.
That's right. And I would
either a prayer meeting or a firing.
Well, and here's the caution. At one point or another, we were in love with each other, right? You wanted to come work for me. I wanted you to come work for me. So what we need to do is have a conversation and ask a lot of questions about where things fell off track. So the first thing that it should be as we go through this analysis is really it's more like a coaching session to figure out where things fell apart and what the person is willing to do to get things back on track. Then you can make a decision on what to do to go forward.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so that's character. But that could be pretty gut-wrenching, right? I mean, you could say, okay, I'd like to start this program now, but it could take me a year to get my team the way it needs to be.
You're right. Again, in my research, so I've got data from over 4,500 people around the world, big companies, mid-sized companies, entrepreneurial companies, and then I went out and interviewed some of these companies, and I interviewed the big guys too. What I found is that, you know, any kind of a change management program is going to take 12 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to start now, and this is actually prime time for planning season.
Right.
I do a lot of strategic planning, and that really becomes the contract between the team, because in high-performing teams, the leader does not have to necessarily be the man or the woman with the stick, really.
Mm-hmm.
they're just the steward. It's the colleagues that hold themselves accountable.
So I know I'm spending a lot of time on this character thing, but I really think this is important. And even if we don't get through all seven of your things, we'll get you back another day and talk about it. I want to land on this because I think this is really important. So do I go to?
Well, it's the first.
It's right. There's a reason it's first. And so if I've got people that I have determined there's an issue with. I wish there weren't because I love them. They've been with me for 20 years or whatever. And there's so many things I rely on them for. But if I see that they're not going to be able to take me to the next finish line, the new iteration of, you know, in what I call the age of the customer, I've got to go to them and say, guys, this is where the company has to go. I have to take the company in this direction. Are you going to be part of that solution? Is that what I do?
Well, you're close, because I do believe that you need to have that clarity of purpose and vision, and you're right to be asking the questions. But I think that closed-ended questions like, are you with me or are
right,
you not?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Ultimately, you need to get there, but I think that you really want to say, look, at one point we were all together. Tell me what happened. Tell me where you want to go. Tell me what's your plan for helping us be successful. So I think open-ended questions that get people to reveal what they're thinking, what they're feeling, is the way to go.
But I agree with that. But the main thing is you got to put a fine point on it with certain people,
you got to
put a fine point on it. Folks, that's the character part of this accountability that Greg talks about in his book, Accountability. And Greg Bustin and I will be right back, 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.